and welcome to Ending Physician Overwhelm. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Mello. I'm a family and obesity medicine physician, as well as a certified life coach for physicians. In this podcast, we talk about how the learned habits of people-pleasing, perfectionism, and a lack of boundaries show up in our lives and how they contribute to burnout, exhaustion, and overwhelm. The healthcare system is broken, my friends, but let's not wait for it to be fixed in order to feel better. Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Ending Physician Overwhelm. Today, we're talking about feedback. So the reason this topic came to my mind is I just returned home from the April business conference for my physician business group. As many of you heard, I've mentioned several times that I'm a part of the Entree MD Business School run by Dr. Una, who was a guest a few weeks ago. And during this conference, we get the time to all come together. We, of course, have some content that we go over, but such a powerful part of the group is having the chance to network and catch up with each other and talk to this really dynamic group of mostly women physicians and explore all the different sort of trials and triumphs of our various businesses. Some of us are coaches. Some of us are in private practice and have our own clinics. Some people are doing speaking engagements. There's all sorts of different physician entrepreneurs in this group. And it was really a wonderful time to come together, but it was actually a pretty difficult weekend for me. And the reason is that I got a lot of feedback from people. So I've always enjoyed going to this conference and getting to know people. And in the this is my third time showing up to this conference. I now have a podcast that is a little over 2 years. And unbeknownst to me, most of my classmates are listening to this podcast. So hi, everyone. But as we were sort of talking about our various challenges in our businesses, it came up that I am not doing enough in terms of being clear on what my stories were, what outcomes I get from my clients. I wasn't speaking up enough. So if I was sharing with people that I was struggling to attract new clients, the feedback that I got was over and over again, you need to speak up more. Well, I don't see enough. Well, I don't really understand what you do. And the reason this was so challenging to hear is that my body is pretty miswired when it comes to feedback. And I know that I'm not alone because one of the things that many of my clients and I share in common is that feedback feels really dangerous, really scary, really just really difficult for us to navigate. And so that's really what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to share 3 tips with us that really can help us to learn to be able to navigate feedback in a way that can help to rewire some of our response. Because of course, when we live this way, when we really feel that feedback is very difficult for us to hear, that it feels dangerous inside our bodies, we are going to seek out feedback. And if we don't seek out feedback and we can't receive it, we're not open to it, we miss the opportunity to grow. I'm at a place in my business where I do see growth potential. I do see that things are going to continue to blossom. But they won't do that unless I grow my own capacity. And in so doing, again, I need to be open to feedback. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you out there are listening and this is something that you've also struggled with, I'm going to give some examples of what various kinds of feedback might feel like. So for many people who tend towards people-pleasing or perfectionism, or lack of boundaries for that matter, sometimes praise is also really difficult. Now, part of that might be that we were raised to be humble, raised to believe that people are just being nice or that we shouldn't be proud, we shouldn't gloat, that kind of mindset. And of course, that's not helpful. But what I see a lot too is that often people who lack boundaries and are people pleasers will also interpret praise as proof that they have to keep working as hard and doing as much as they are currently doing, even if they're drowning. So my clients who have heard statements from their patients, such as, you're the best doctor I've ever had. You always give me all the time I need. You are always such a good listener and you handle all of my problems. That kind of praise can feel actually like a really frustrating, resentful type of pressure, right? Because it reinforces that it feels necessary to do all of those things in order to do a good job, right? In order to win the gold star. And so that's something that comes up over and over again, right? And that's positive feedback, right? That's someone saying that they enjoy working with you. For negative feedback, or even just thoughtful, constructive feedback, that can feel like someone is getting in trouble. And again, that conditioning probably goes way, way back. It's probably something that we grew up with. I was the good girl. And I know a lot of you out there were also sort of raised as the good girl, right? You were quiet, you were well behaved, you smiled, you said yes. And so when we receive constructive feedback after working so hard to be on the straight and narrow and follow all the rules, again, even if that feedback is constructive, it can feel like we're in trouble. It can feel like proof that we're not good enough. And in the hustle culture of medical training, where we needed to outperform people, right? We needed to make mistakes and learn and grow. That feedback was often pretty scathing at times, even when it was intended to help us become physicians. But whether or not that comes from your childhood or comes from very difficult experiences during medical training, any sort of constructive criticism sometimes really feels deeply painful inside. So I know that a lot of you out there experience that as well. And if you don't, great. Feel free to keep listening, but this episode may not be for you. Today, we're really speaking to those of you out there who really, really struggle with this, you know, who, you know, really feel in our bodies that constructive criticism is a direct attack. So let's talk about three steps that you can take if you are struggling to receive feedback. So step number one is really considering the source. So in this day and age, we've got plenty of internet trolling. We've got plenty of people speaking up all the time. A lot of unsolicited opinions coming at us all the time. And even if you are not out there on social media or really public in any way, you as a physician have become a commodity, right? Whether you're in your own business or you're an employed physician or some other circumstance, you are out there for people to comment on and critique. And so this kind of feedback can come to us from all different directions. You might receive feedback from your patients, right? Or your staff or your colleagues or your boss or the hierarchy of the place that you work. You might receive feedback from your employees if you own your own business. You might receive feedback, of course, from other people that work with you. You might receive feedback from people who love and care about you, from friends and family, right? Feedback can come from so many different directions. And so it's really important that we are really clear on the sources that matter to us. I was recently reading Hidden Potential by Adam Grant, which was a great book. And he asked us to consider, is the source reliable? That is, do they have appropriate information to be able to give me important feedback, right? If someone is giving me feedback, I don't know, let's say on some posts that I did on social media, let's just take a silly example like that, but they never make any posts and they've got nothing on their own account, or maybe it's just random pictures of food that they're eating, that's not a credible source, right? They've given me no evidence that they know how to do what I'm trying to do. Similarly, let's see, we might receive feedback, I don't know, from a fully administrative leader, right, who has never practiced using an electronic medical record or practiced in the era of Prescani scores and HEDIS measures and Google reviews, and giving you feedback on whether or not you're doing an okay job, whether or not you're meeting all the criteria, but they've never done that. Now, they might sort of be a credible source in that they're in medical leadership. So you may sort of need to pay attention to them in that regard. But you may still choose that they're not a credible source to you because they've never had to do what you're doing. You get to decide that. Certainly, we're probably not talking about the kind of feedback that is actually going to get you fired. Although in this day and age, who knows? When physicians get fired, it's very frequent in my experience that they don't actually get to find out what happened. I've read plenty of stories and heard plenty of people just say, one day they asked me to leave. No explanation. Just pack up your stuff and go. That's a tangent. I won't go down any further. But I want you to really think about, what is the source? Are they credible? Right? Do they have my respect in terms of what they're offering me? The other really important part that he points out is this someone who cares about you in some way? Now, again, this could be friends or family, right? It could be patients. It could be someone that you work with. It could be internet trolls. You need to decide, is this someone who has your best interest in mind before you decide whether or not that feedback is important, right? If you've got a patient who was upset before they walked in the door in the morning, they didn't like that they had to wait a month to schedule an appointment. They didn't like that there wasn't parking or that it was raining or that they had to wait in the lobby for 15 minutes. They didn't like anything about it. And they write you a scathing review. And you knew it wasn't a good interaction. That is someone who does not care about you. And you do not have to let their feedback enter your body. You do not have to respond to their feedback. We can put that person in the group of people whose opinion doesn't matter. Whether or not they are credible, that's a different story, but they are not someone who cares about you. And they are just, I don't know, having a bad day. Let's let them off the hook. You have permission and you can give yourself permission to ignore that. So this step is really important. When we think about what is the source of the feedback, is their information reliable? And do they care about you? Care about you as a person? Care about you improving in some way? Let's consider those two things before we take that information seriously. Step number two, we're going to come back to permission on this one. Is the feedback something that you want to improve on? You will receive some feedback on things that have happened, things that you've done, that it's really not important to you. And if it's not important to you, let's give ourselves permission that we don't really need to improve on it. So an example I shared for me, when my friends were giving me feedback about wanting to see specific things, wanting to help me sort of elevate my ability to get out there and find coaching clients, that is something I want to improve on. Right? I want to be able to grow my coaching business. And so I take it seriously and it's important to me. And I'm going back to number one, right? I consider them credible sources because they are all doing the same thing, trying to grow their businesses. And they are people who care about me. And it's something that I want to improve on, right? So it was really important to me to listen to the feedback. And Because this group of people was so loving and because I trust them so much, I was able to joke and laugh with them and to tell them straight, I don't like what you're saying, right? Because they knew that what I was telling them was that, yeah, it's hard for me to hear that. It is hard for me to hear that. I don't have to cover that up, right? I don't like receiving negative feedback, constructive feedback, right? Again, as I shared, it feels hard in my body. But these are things I want to improve on. So when I've determined that I can trust the source and it's something that I want to improve on, then I can pay attention to that feedback. I'm trying to think of an example of something that I personally don't care to improve on. I don't know. Let's say I was doing a silly art project and it was just something fun and ridiculous. and someone that I care about said, oh, you might want to do this or that. Yeah, I might not. That's a very superficial example. But if I don't care to improve on it, it's totally okay. If there's a sport that I just enjoy playing, but I'm not really concerned about getting better at it, that's totally okay. We play a lot of games in my house. We love board games. And there are some games that I'm just not good at. And I don't really care about getting better at them. It's fine for me just to be there and to play. Now, other games I'll get very competitive about, but that's a different story. You get to choose whether or not you want to accept the feedback. Again, this is from a credible source, people who care about you. Is it something that you want to improve on? If yes, okay. If no, okay. We get to end it there. Now, number three, this is really the deep introspection part, because then we have to lean in and say, where am I in resistance? So as I was listening to the feedback, I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised. I know that I don't have a slick social media presence. I know it. And what else did I hear? I don't know. I heard that sometimes it's not really clear, like, what I help people with. And I listened to that feedback and I'm in resistance because, yeah, it's hard for me to hear feedback, but also because there's a part of me that doesn't know how to do what they were asking me to do, what they were telling me to do, or worries that I'll never get good at something, right? Worries that, oh man, if I have to work on my social media presence, that means even more pictures of me, even more videos of me. And that felt really hard because I don't like taking pictures and making videos, but I know that about myself. And so when I hear, both in our content during the conference and from this trusted group of friends who I really respect and admire, that I really need to work on that messaging, I know there's a big part of me in resistance because that feels too hard. Again, I don't like taking pictures and videos of myself, despite my doing that right at this very moment, right? Because these podcast episodes get aired on YouTube. I can see where that resistance is. And I know that that's part of the difficulty that I experience when it comes to feedback, right? When we get feedback, and it's from a trusted, credible source, and it's something that we want to improve on, leaning in and figuring out where are we in resistance? Like, what's coming up, right? For me, it just triggers a lot of feelings, right? I've never liked having pictures taken of me. It takes me back to childhood. I didn't like how I looked. I had a lot of hangups, right? Lots of struggles with kind of body image and self-worth and growing up in the diet cultures of the 80s and 90s, right? All of that is just part of me. So when I hear putting myself out there more, I'm just like, yuck, yuck. I don't like that. But again, I needed that feedback. And again, it wasn't shocking to me because I know that. I know that about myself. And I know that it's something that I want to work on because I am growing a business. And I know the impact that my business has on people. I know the power of coaching and the transformative properties of it. So obviously, I want to do more of that because I love it and I'm good at it. But it's going to take me overcoming that resistance, right? Receiving that feedback and taking different actions, right? That's a whole big ball of discomfort, right? Coming right at me. Okay. Because I trust this group of people, I trust the feedback that's coming in, right? I listen. I take care of myself. I sat, right? I breathed. I listened. I accepted. I asked questions. That was hard. And I know that many of you out there struggle with the same thing. And in fact, some of you out there want coaching and you're afraid of it because it is going to give you feedback. And some of that feedback is going to be hard to hear. That's definitely something I've experienced as I have received coaching. Sometimes I really don't like what people have to say, right? It's a painful reflection. I would much rather you tell me that I'm doing a good job and I go along, but that doesn't help us improve. That doesn't help us grow. When I was a resident, I was frequently asking for feedback, but really, I just needed the ego boost. I just needed someone to tell me that I was doing a good job. And a lot of the time, I wouldn't get a whole bunch of constructive feedback. People would say, oh, no, you're great. You're doing a good job. But yeah, no, we love having you. Oh, you're good with patients. While there was a part of me that really appreciated that, I think it really did block my ability to grow. And granted, like I did fine. I was a chief resident. I did well, no complaints. But if I had received more feedback, and maybe, probably not, but maybe that would have damped down my inner critic, right? Because I would have seen that there was something I could work on. Now, I cannot guarantee that because my inner critic was already pretty damn strong at that time. But I know that there were things that I probably could have learned to do better. And I missed that opportunity because I didn't really get that constructive feedback. And again, part of me was very happy about that. But if you are struggling in your life right now, if there are relationship difficulties, if you are struggling with your health habits, if you are struggling to get room for yourself in your own life to be able to go on your list, if you're struggling to build a business or you have a dream or you are trying to make a decision about trying to leave a job, right, and look for something else, and you find yourself wanting help but not getting it because you're afraid of what you want, you might hear, that, my friends, is what we're talking about, right? That is that difficulty, that yuck, that heaviness. It's in you too. I hope that if that's true for you, that you will look at these three steps, right? Again, considering the source of the feedback. Is it reliable? Do they care about you? Asking, is this something that I want to improve on? And where am I in resistance so that you can learn more? Taking those three steps and doing that over and over and over again helps to rewire your nervous system so that feedback becomes less scary. Now, certainly if you faced an extremely difficult childhood, if you faced abuse, if you have things that are wired into your nervous system that feel so unsafe that you are not at all open any percent because it just feels too dangerous, that means therapy, right? That means trauma-directed therapy. And please, 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 please go get that for yourself. I've done craniosacral therapy for trauma as well as psychotherapy, and it was immensely helpful. We've got other treatment modalities like EMDR and brain spotting and all sorts of things that can help to safely rewire your nervous system. That's just what I'll call it, right? So that you don't get triggered into deep trauma by these circumstances. So that is certainly a different thing. But for most of us, it may not be to that extent. It may just be that we just cringe and we ball up, right? I encourage you to lean into the discomfort, right? And learn to begin to tolerate the feedback so that you can grow in the ways that you want to grow, that you can get the things that you want to get, but be learning and checking and adjusting and failing all along the way, because that is what growth requires. I'm sure you had moments of failure during your medical training. I'm sure that you fell down when you were trying to walk, right? We've all had those learning and growing mistakes. And when you're trying to make changes in your life, we have to be willing to make learning and growing mistakes. And that's going to require feedback. My friends, I'm going to end this here today. I hope this was helpful. Again, those three steps, consider the source of the feedback. Are they reliable? Do they have credible information? Have they done what you are trying to do, or are they doing it too? And do they care about you? They're not just some random internet troll or some pissed off patient who is never going to see you again. Two, is this something that you want to improve on? Is this something that's important to you to make better? And three, where are you in resistance and what can you learn there? When you go through these three steps, and again, you do them over and over again, you're open to feedback, right? When it's coming from the right place, when you need to receive it, it will open up such new opportunities in your life. If we want to do something big, we need to be open to feedback. So let's start taking the yuck out of it, right? Let's start leaning in and deciding, yep, I'm gonna be open to growth and learning here. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And until next time, take care. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you as always for listening. To learn more about my coaching programs, head to www.healthierforgood.com. And if you love this podcast, please drop us a review on iTunes or support the show by clicking the link in the show notes. Until next time, take care.